Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Hartley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City. And I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side in a 28-degree temperature. It's a little chilly out here in New York, making us appreciate winter. Winter is here, and the lovely Aquarius moon above our heads, or Aquarius sun above our heads, which is, of course, the sun, not in its hot, warm period, but in its cool, chilly period. You know, Leo is, of course, the sun's ruler, so the opposite sign, Aquarius, is the sun's detriment. So it's up there, it's making the light, but it's not warming the earth up, at least not here. So anyway, I'm in, and I'm waiting for Heather and Mark to join. I'm having a big transit in my chart that has played havoc with my telephone. Verizon says they can't fix it until February 7th. It went out last week. So it's been a little bit of a pain in the butt, frankly. And Mark is going to be calling in, as is Heather. So we should have them joining us shortly, and then we'll be ready to go. So we are in process, and I think I see Mark there.
Hello.
Hi, Mark. You're there. Yay.
Hi, cool. Yes.
So,
Oh, good. No static on the line.
No static on the line. It was horrible static. And the telephone company goes, how do you know when it's fixed? He goes, when you don't have static and you have a dial tone again. I'm like, okay, that's helpful.
Yeah.
There's no other procedure there. You know, I mean, it is America 2013. You would think that they would know. They would know how to fix it, but whatever. So we're going to talk. It is Mars and Neptune today, which is all about, like, adventures in blurry things, I guess is the right way to call it. So what did you notice in the week ahead for us?
Well, we have the Mars-Neptune. We have Mercury going into Pisces, don't we?
Yep, Mercury and Pisces tomorrow morning around 10.
Yep, and then we have the Lunar New Year coming up.
The Lunar New Year for China, the year of the snake.
The year of the snake with the element water.
Right, with the element of water, So it's a very strong energy. Snakes are supposed to be good in finance and business. So generally, when we're in a snake year, it's a good year for money and finance.
Yeah,
because
they're
wise.
That's good timing.
Yeah, which is good. We need money and finance.
It's a good finance year.
Right. So the new moon is next Saturday night. It was like midnight, 2 a.m. or something. So we wake up with it. But it starts a new cycle. But I do think we should talk a little bit about all the Pisces in the heavens, because when Mars went into Pisces, you know, now while Saturn is in Scorpio, all those planets are ruled by him. And, Scorpio answers to Mars. And every time Mars changes signs, similar to what happened back when, when Venus changed signs when Saturn was in Libra, it was very much about a transformation. And I'm thinking this might be Heather on the 914315. I don't have the last four digits of that, but let me see if that's there. Is that you, Heather?
Yes, it is.
Oh, cool.
I just called in on the other line.
I'm having a Mercury and Pisces kind of moment, even though it hasn't happened yet.
I just called in on the other line
and it threw me off, so I'm happy to be here. I'm sorry it did not. When I called in, they said there's two people on the line, and then, boom, there was no one on the line, and then they wouldn't let me back on.
That was us going over to the Blog Talk line.
So it is a Mercury moment.
I have static. Well, you know, Mercury's going to be in Pisces for 67 days.
Not only is it in Pisces, it is conjunct Neptune tonight. Can't you feel it?
Mm-hmm. And it's conjunct Mars. So can't you feel it?
Yes, indeed.
Static and excitement and, craziness. So tell us what you notice about the week ahead, Heather.
Well, it's interesting, right? Today, when Mars is in Sagittarius, and I felt everybody getting ready to travel and talking about moving, it was really interesting to feel that difference after kind of an interestingly moody and interior Scorpio weekend. But this afternoon, as the moon hit 2 degrees of Sagittarius and squares Mars and Neptune, which is a decisive and cranky moment, I heard a lot of people talk about having arguments around their work in mid-afternoon, but that was also the moment that the police broke into the bunker in Alabama and rescued the child that had been held there for a week.
Wow.
Well, I didn't hear they did that. They did that today?
They did that this afternoon. They had evidence that the man was starting to become less coherent and was waving a gun around. So they went in, killed the guy, and took the kid. And he, you know, that was an interesting lineup of, you know, an exact Mars-Neptune conjunction, square
right.
Moon in Sagittarius.
Right.
And square Jupiter. So it was time to free the child because the delusion was getting worse.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, and here in New York, we lost Mayor Koch. He died this weekend of congestive heart failure.
That's
so we had a funeral today, so we were all very sad here in New York.
No, I bet.
And interestingly, I mean, he was a Sag, Sun, Jupiter, and Saturn was right on his Saturn. He was having his third Saturn return when he took off. So
you know, and all the, you know, outside of New York, all the Mayor Koch jokes we get are about his Sagittarian, you know, speech patterns. You know, all his comments that were just so direct and funny and him.
Yeah. And over the top, Well, he was my mayor, you know, my starter mayor. When I moved to New York, Abe Beam was going out and Ed was coming in. So he was kind of the mayor I grew up with. So I was like, what do you mean it was all those years ago? I can't be that old, you know. Made me feel old, you know. But I was like, I guess I am, you know. Ed was my starter mayor, and now I've had all the other mayors since. So it was kind of weird. But, yeah, it's definitely, he was a great guy.
And it's interesting to see what the Mars-Neptune conjunction at is doing. There's a chance to melt old angers. I got a chance to officiate a wedding this weekend for two women and about 150, 200 people at the wedding, and both families were having a very hard time with it. You know, there's the nice Lutheran family that was saying, you know, oh, that's nice, dear, just don't tell anybody in our town. And the other one that was, you know, the father excommunicated the child, the daughter to when she got married, who decided to marry her female partner. And although it cannot be legally binding here, we can do that other ways, but it was emotionally binding. But I watched both families with when they came into this beautiful, loving space, fairly formal wedding at a museum, they Neptune was melting their Mars. You know, I watched them let go of an old anger and let go of an old fear and begin to step into appreciating and celebrating their daughters, which was a really lovely example.
Wow. That's really nice. That's a nice way for the Mars to show up, you know. Yeah. Melting the anger. I like that. I like that. That's a really nice metaphor. You know, the metaphor I get is, you know, Mark and I were talking last week to the group we meet with on Tuesday in New York, and he used the analogy of sailing, you know, and tacking on the ship and kind of, you know, you don't really get there directly. You go sideways. That was a really good one too, Mark. You want to talk about that? Because that was an excellent visual for people, I think.
With Mars and Pisces?
Mars and Pisces.
Yeah,
how you work with them.
Yeah, we have to be sure that we are navigating by some kind of system. Otherwise, Mars will just ride the boat around, you know.
Yeah.
Go for a while this way, go for a while that way, and probably never get anywhere, you know. So you have to have some kind of navigating system, something that you look at and say, I'm going in a consistent direction one way or another.
And I think that, you know, in a big way, that's a good metaphor, because I'm seeing a lot of people letting go of old ambitions that they had. Another Mars thing is that, you know, when Mars comes around, we kind of, is that still my dream? Do I really want that dream? Is that not my dream? What's really going on with that?
Yeah.
Right.
And if it's not my dream, what do I want to do instead? Yeah. Because a lot of times we get these dreams, or, you know, we've gotten the dream, you know. I know for me, that's where I am. It's like, well, my dream was to be an astrologer. Well, I did that dream. So now I'm like, okay, so what do I want to do next? You know, I mean, right. Not that I don't want to be an astrologer anymore, but it's like, well, what's the next new vision coming in?
Right.
And Neptune in Pisces, of course, asks us to have a dream. You know, if you don't have a dream, how are you going to have a dream come true? It's very much the, you know, there is a dream running that we want to honor and kind of pay attention to so that that we're working in that right direction, heading in that direction towards it. So it's a very interesting time. But I also think the Mars in Pisces, you know, after Mark had said that part about the, you know, navigating and having something, I remembered back to when I was sailing and I took sailing lessons. And, you know, you don't, like, just aim towards something and get there, especially if the wind is blowing in the wrong way. You kind of do this zigzag to get there. You know, you go a little to the left, a little to the right. It's called tacking and, you know, a bunch of other names. But it's kind of that process of indirectly heading in that direction and then adjusting your sails and saying, oh, okay, now I have to adjust this to get to there. And I think that's also part of this energy, is that we're on some level tacking into a new direction in our lives, but we're also being asked to, as we tack, you know, it is the last sign of the zodiac. So when Mars is in the last sign of the zodiac, he's releasing. It's a releasing energy. Even if he's not in a last sign in your chart, he's wrapping up a whole Pisces journey that he's been on for the last 2 years and letting that go, you know. And, of course, as he hits Neptune, he starts a new two-year journey around the new dream. And he says, what's the new dream coming in? You know, what's the new vision? So that's lovely that they got married on a Mars-Neptune day. It's a new dream, you know.
Wasn't that, and so it was a beautiful image.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, with Mercury-Neptune, it's very hard to focus this week. I've been trying to keep my nose to the grindstone, has not been working. How's it been working for you? Concentration.
I fall asleep at my desk. mine is, okay, take a nap, man. You know, and I'm sitting in the couch a little while ago and snoozing away, and I thought I got to stay awake, got to walk around and do some dishes or something, so otherwise I'll sleep through the radio show.
It is pretty funny.
I don't have a problem because my natal Mercury is Pisces.
So you like it.
Yeah. Things, you know, now people are starting to think in a reasonable way.
Right.
Now you're making sense, you know.
So the other
12
now,
months
right?
of the year, you don't make that much sense.
Right. And how would you describe that? Because I know it's a very non-linear way of thinking.
Yeah, it's non-linear. It's very imagistic and, you know, very free association, dreamlike in a lot of ways, and very poetic.
Yes.
Ultimately poetic. So it's actually condensed in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. People who don't understand it think they don't think of it as condensed. They think of it as like loose jointed all over the place. But in fact, like a good poem, it's very condensed and very to the point, and there's nothing that isn't needed. But that's Mercury and Pisces working well.
Yeah.
And it is true that when it's not working well, then it is all over the place.
I like that. It's kind of like a poem. That makes a lot of sense. Where you choose the words are actually perfect for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And often one word does the job of three or ten.
It's funny. I worked with a guy, and he had Mercury and Pisces, and it was back in the days when computer programming, what the glory was shrinking it down. I mean, now everybody's sloppy programmers, but it was shrinking it down to the smallest because you used to have to pay a lot of money for storage.
Yeah.
And to shrink, you know, like huge bunches of codes down into something. And he would do it. It was like his programming was like haiku. And he would be so proud every time he shrank it. And we would all be like, wow, cool, you know, because he was, you know, he just kind of, you know, he was like the condenser. And he had been a Navy submarinist, you know, which he was a little guy and he lived in a little submarine, you know. Those are not big places. So he was used to compacting things down.
Yeah, you don't take anything extra aboard a submarine.
No, and it's very minimal. Your space requirements and, you know, that's it. You got your stuff and you're done. And you don't take up a lot of room. Mm-hmm. So he was the one that everybody went to shrink their code, you know, because he would just be able to go and shrink it down.
Right.
Yeah. It was a whole other world. Now it's like you make the code as big as you want because you can buy storage for, like, you know, no money at all. And gigs and gigabytes of things. And back then it was really, it was very expensive. You know?
Mm-hmm. So, it is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But is there anybody on the phone tonight?
Yes, there's a whole pile
okay.
waiting. Do we have anything else to say about the week? Let me just look here. I think Mercury changing, everything's Piscean, huh? Pardon?
Everything is Piscean. We've got a nice Venus-Jupiter trine this week, and then we have a Venus-Saturn square early next week. So you might want to celebrate Valentine's Day a week early because February 6th,
you're going to be fighting with them next week, right? Yeah.
Right. You know, next week it's true. Both Mars and Venus kind of take some tough aspects. We have to watch out for high expectations and difficulties.
Right.
Later on this week, we have the Mercury-Mars exact conjunction on February 8th. That's in a couple of days. We find that already I've noticed it could be very decisive. It's time to kind of move forward and maybe making comments that create rifts more than they connect. And with that, we have to be a little watch out for being accident prone. Already today I'm seeing it pick up the tendency to be a bit accident prone as Mercury conjuncts Mars. It's a good time to be direct and decisive, but sometimes we're direct and decisive a few inches before we turn the corner. So to give ourselves a little room for that. And as Mars moves into its square with Jupiter, which is a very competitive aspect, and that Mars squares Jupiter and Venus squares Saturn on the 10th, and that may bring some kind of, you know, emotional hassles. It's on the new moon in Aquarius, so watch what theoretical fights you get into this coming weekend, that you don't, you know, argue over philosophy too much. Just notice that people will feel like debating, and choose where you do it. Choose how you get, what arguments you get into.
Yeah, and do you really even want to, or is it just easier to kind of go,
right.
Okay, well, gotta go now. You
yeah,
know,
that's interesting.
Can,
how you know? I see that
yeah,
you think
fish,
that. Huh.
But fish can swim away. They just kind of go, well, gotta go now. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good solution when you're having these kind of aspects. The other thing I think we want to talk about is the when we have this kind of level of water in the heavens, people are much more sensitive. You know, so also if you can say something and people don't either hear it or they hear it through a filter. I was noticing it today when I was out for dinner. And my dinner partner kept going, what? What are you saying? And she kept turning her hearing aid up. And I'm like, hearing aid's not going to help. And I have a loud voice. So it's understanding that it's, you know, and also feet. Like I got ran into with the Mars on the Neptune on the feet. I got a piece of glass in my foot that I have to figure out. Well, I've been operating on it for the last couple of days, and I haven't managed to get it out. So I think I have to go see a doctor tomorrow. But
yeah.
But it's understanding that there is a little level of accident proneness.
That is,
not
exactly.
Not through any fault of your own, but you just kind of, you know, so my cleaning lady goes, did you break a glass? And I said, well, I break them all the time, but not that I know of recently. I just walked on it this time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taking care of the medical things, too, because it's a very infection-prone kind of energy also. All right, so let's go look to the – I don't think we need to give the phone number out because we got a lot of callers on the line.
Okay.
And, again, we do ask if you have called recently, you know, and have been answered. We may say, oh, you know, we've already talked to you. If you haven't called recently, great, we'd love to talk to you. And if you're calling on the line and you didn't press the number one, we're not going to call on you. One makes your question mark light up, and then we'll have you on. Okay, so let's go. We got 323-633. Hi, you're on the air. Can we help?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
How are you?
Pretty good. I would like your input on Pluto will soon be transiting over my Saturn and Moon in the 6th.
Okay, give us your birth information, please.
March 21st. 1960. Long mm-hmm. Beach, California.
And what time?
2:29 p.m.
Okay. So March 2:29 p.m. afternoon at Long Beach, California.
Correct.
So it's going to be a little while before Pluto gets up to your Saturn. And how have you felt your Saturn in the past? And because recently Saturn squared Saturn. Did you notice when that happened?
Well, my first Saturn return, I uh-huh. had a lot of health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And those health issues have continued on and off over the years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and especially this past year, it's not been very well. So
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if I need to duck and hide.
mm.
So when Saturn was squaring your moon this last year was when you had the health stuff.
Yes.
Again.
Okay. And the moon rules the lungs, it rules the body cavities, and also Saturn rules bones.
Mm-hmm.
So teeth, hair, bones, skin, and then cavities
and
like your mouth, stomach, and stuff like that.
And the tendency to work too hard.
And the tendency to work. Yeah.
Because your chart has this combination of sensitivity from the Mercury Venus in Pisces. And the Sun in Aries, Moon in Capricorn, tendency to drive yourself too hard. So sometimes
yeah.
the only way you give yourself a break is to get sick.
Yeah.
And
I've
one of the things
that
if we can get it to nurture yourself and mother yourself before you get sick and plan in some downtime and not let it be the only excuse that you can take health breaks that you have to for your health, but keep the focus on the health rather than the illness.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be going against the work ethic of your whole male lineage. But, you know,
yeah,
and
the mother lineage, too. And
the female lineage, both of them. Get your
both
moon and Saturn, both in Capricorn, right on the sixth house.
Right.
So, you know, your family doesn't know how to take a break. And
I'm learning to do that.
Good. So we want you to do that proactively. You know, Uranus, Pluto just got off your sun, and Uranus got off your sun. So you're past those two major transits. That's the good news.
When do they move off?
Well, Uranus is now up to 4 or 5 degrees, and Pluto won't go back to lower than 5 degrees. So neither one of them is going to tag your sun again, and they've just been off by months.
Oh.
Yeah, they got off in September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also with all the Earth in your chart, one of the ways your body gets your attention is by, you know, working with your body, by physically going after you. And not in
yeah.
a mean way, but that's how it knows you'll pay attention and you'll listen to it. So when you see that, you kind of go, okay, so how do you do? And you have the Mercury in Pisces, so it doesn't always, we were just talking about that, it doesn't always listen to, you know, when you get a message, it doesn't always listen to you. And the Mercury sextile to Saturn can be, well, just do it a little longer. Well, just do it a little more. So, you know, when your sun gets threatened, it rules your ascendant, it goes to the eighth house, it says, okay, I'm feeling really threatened and overwhelmed, let me drop.
Mm-hmm.
Right now you are having Saturn on your Neptunes, though, so your energy's been pretty low, and that will be this year. And so what that is really about reprogramming. If we go back to 1983, when you were 23 years old, you put down foundations then, and what you're being asked to do now is to kind of tear up those old plants. And notice they have really big roots, and about allowing those to kind of pull out. And as we get to this summer, when Neptune goes into Pisces, he gets off your Chiron, which is also another health aspect you were having last year. He says, okay, let's come up with a new dream. And this chart really needs to work on what it dreams, and also with the sun ruling you, ruling your ascendant, if you don't love what you do, the chart can get really depressed. So it's about
yeah.
allowing it to kind of expand into a new direction, you know, of what you love to do rather than what you have to do.
So I would ask...
What could really help at this point is if you stop and... give yourself like a nice long afternoon to write down what you really know to be true. What is really true? And then say, how can I then take the few things that I really hold to be true and important, and how do I build a life on those? Mm. And make that the important things that you work with right now and make them very practical.
That was a really great way to say that.
See, his Mercury in Pisces is talking to your Mercury in Pisces.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, actually, we have just about the same degree of Pisces, but yours is retrograde.
But it's very poetic. Yeah.
So that's a super Mercury in Pisces. Mm-hmm.
And both of you are the Aries Sun, so the Sun is going, come on, hurry up, be competent. And the Pisces Mercury is saying, oh no, I need to see this in poetry and motion, and I seem to need this in form and in picture. So it's an interesting combination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And with 67 days of Mercury and Pisces ahead of you, you're going to be able to figure that dream out. So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Oh, Shay.
You're very welcome.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, so we'll try another one. We only have a couple minutes left, but hi, 972, you're on the air. How are you? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm the guy who sent the email to y'all so y'all can check it out. My dad died at my Chiron return going into the 8th house because I think Chiron takes 50 and 3/4 years to make its cycle. So I just thought that y'all might be able
to
comment.
See that. Can you give us your birth information?
Oh, okay, you don't have it. Okay. 4/25/1962.
Mm-hmm.
In New Orleans, Louisiana, and the time is 12:04 p.m.
12:04 p.m. If you sent it, I haven't gotten it yet, so
I didn't check it right before I went on.
But we'll read it afterwards. New Orleans.
Yeah, I sent it to the Access Astrology contact. You guys.
Right, and it probably just hasn't gotten out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
April 25th, 1962, you said?
Yeah.
At 12:04 p.m.
Right.
And you had, and when did your dad pass away?
December 28th, around 6:45 p.m.
I'm sorry. Is he ready? That's really hard to hear, Dan.
Yeah.
Huh?
How was that for you? I mean, what was the process? Were you expecting that to be?
No, well, I was expecting him to die, because he had half of his intestines taken out back in May, and at this point in time in December, he was mostly just feeding tube and changing him, so the quality of life wasn't too good.
Yeah. And that's where Chiron was
sitting. But he would open
his
eyes, and that would mean the most to us. And we would go to the nursing home. We would sit and hope he could talk to us through his eyes. And then when we would leave, we would kiss his forehead. And so even that had touching moments. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
your Taurus, the tactile, was very important to be with him physically, you know.
You're right. Taurus, Sun. You've got Taurus, Mercury, and Venus. Sun, Mercury, and Venus all in Taurus at the top of the chart.
Yeah.
Another moon in Capricorn with the moon right on the sixth house cusp, that you really serve your parents. And you really believe in that responsibility to your family.
Yes.
Chiron was right opposite your Pluto. I see that. And Jupiter was going through your 10th house of, it looks like your father has been sort of getting ready to leave all year.
Yes,
Jupiter's going through your 10th house.
Definitely. He told my mom a year ago that I'm ready to go. So
that's when Jupiter went into your 10th house, which is the house of the father.
Okay.
And he was getting ready to go. And your family's got some processing to do around this. Your natal moon is at 12 degrees of Capricorn. So Pluto is coming to conjunct your natal moon and square, and Uranus will be coming to square it. So there's some, the whole family is going to be shifting in how they deal with each other, and your mom's got some, may deal with some depression in response to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's going to be important for you to parent yourself right now, because your mom won't be able to really parent you.
Right.
But to really become your father and your mother within and take good care of yourself for the next few years so that you can be helpful to your family while they adjust. And there's going to be some adjustments. People are going to act out a bit for now, for a while. Just as they, you know, as one old therapist said to me, everybody goes a little psychotic for the year after a parent dies.
Really?
Because the interior landscape of their psyche is changing so much that, you know, no matter how, if they loved them or they, if they had things all straightened out or they didn't, you know, no matter how you feel about it, that interior process is changing. And it's really noticeable in your chart that you and your family are just kind of reconfiguring yourselves after this. And it'll take a while, but it'll come out in a good place. You just have to take care of yourself in the process.
Okay.
Yeah. And on that note, the British lady has spoken, so we have to go.
Oh, thank you.
Keep in our prayers, because it's very hard to lose a parent. I know that firsthand. It's like nothing like it when you lose the people that know your memories,
mm-hmm.
that are your memories. So my name is Ann Ortley. I'm Access Astrologer signing off.
And this
Mark
is Heather Wolf. Rowan Robbins. Yep.
Yep, and Mark Wolf.
Right. And Mark and I are hosting Ariel Gutman this weekend in New York City on
Don't
the Venus Star Point workshop. So feel free to contact us on our website, astroin.com or dharmarising.com. And Heather, are you doing anything out there in Minneapolis?
Yeah, tomorrow I'm teaching my Living Astrology Chart Clinic. Come on down and look me up, and I will... for 2 hours, it's a drop-in, you know, conversational. We talk chart, case history after case history. And do not miss Ariel if you're in the New York region. Doesn't matter what level of astrology you are. This is wonderful new work for advanced and very accessible for those that are not advanced. So enjoy it.
All right, so off we go. Talk to you all next week. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye now.
Bye.